you have written an article recently which references a study done at Oxford University regarding how artificial intelligence could disrupt our life in the not-too-distant future. Can you paint a little bit of a picture about what the findings from that study were?
Well, there's quite a lot of studies, actually. The one from Oxford University examined the role of AI in health science and retail sectors, and it's basically predicting that AI will actually outperform humans in the next 40 years. In particular, they're saying they'll take over domains such as language translation by 2024, truck driving by 2027, retail by 31, and they're even suggesting creative pursuits such as writing a bestseller, as in a novel, by 2049.
Wow.
They suggest that highly skilled surgery could be taken over by 53.
Okay. That's something that I could see, because it's such a precise kind of requirement to do that kind of surgery. That's very interesting. So those kind of roles are not that far away. Is going to be in our lifetime that there could be a surgeon operating on us potentially.
And look, I think AI, we forget that AI is actually already widespread if we consider our phone in our pockets, which has that basic algorithms of face, you know, and voice recognition, even though Siri can be a bit crappy still in the morning giving me my weather. But it's, you know, you're looking at things like Watson and those sorts of things that are now being taken up, you know, rumoured to be taken up by the Australian Taxation Department, where they can match algorithms. So if you're on Facebook saying that you're on holidays, you know, and then you put in a tax return saying that you are on business, the bots will actually connect the dots. Insurance companies are doing the same thing.
Wow.
But, you know, and I think that we actually, as humans, don't have any issues really forming emotional, intimate relationships with technology, and especially with AI. And because it's such a quickly changing landscape, you know, we are used to, as you were saying earlier in the break, about we are used to going to shopping now and paying for our own. It's kind of like our memory starts becoming erased, I suppose, with
it becomes normal.
Human. It's normalised, yeah.
And even only been the last couple of years, though. It's amazing how quickly it can become a normal process.
Well, the iPhone has only really been around for 10 years, and we forget that in itself.
What
and
life
how
was like before.
You know, and I think that there's a lot of promise about change. But, you know, this idea, what I'm interested in, this idea that, of this messy, unpredictable thing called creativity, that we're safe from that, because there's a lot of writing around, you know, don't worry, if you're creative, you'll be fine.
Okay.
But recently we've seen AI recruited to do things like craft beer. There's an AI beer, if you're interested.
So wait, it designed the chemistry of how they make the beer?
Yeah, so they again, it's all based on algorithm rather than a personal, iteration sort of style of creativity. But they looked across about what people's favourite tastes are, and they did tests. So they kept iterating and changing according to the tastes and came up with this perfect beer, AI beer. It's the same with, there's ads at the moment being created. There's a whole advertising company that's created an ad in Japan, so art-directed commercials based on algorithm. But the question is, I suppose, for us is will it rival human creativity and things like empathy and emotion, really? And the answer is, well, not yet.
Not yet.
But soon. Yeah.
So that, you mentioned the process of iteration. So it is not, it doesn't have feelings. It has a series of algorithms designed to it's really an optimization problem, I guess, when you're making the craft beer.
Look, I think that's true. But I think, you know, I talk a lot about this idea of why design's so important. So I'm going to bang on a bit about design again, is that it is unstructured, and there is this, you have to be comfortable, you have to sit in funk, and you have to sit in this uncertainty.
Yeah.
And I think what's interesting for me is that traditional styles of business, so that they kind of did this thing where the business, you know, the men with the comb overs in the old days in the banks in the 20th century would sit and say, I know, and therefore I do. That can be completely automated. I know and I do, because they're looking at past history. Mm. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Whereas what design offers is that middle section, which is the iteration and the creativity and the emotion, where I don't like to use the word design thinking, but there is that notion of design thinking that sits in the middle of that.
Speaking of design, you've been working, I guess, in design for 20, 25 years.
Yeah.
I was interested, you must have seen, I guess, rapid changes in technology.
Yeah, definitely.
And in the article, you mentioned an idea, the democratization of design. Can you talk about how the technology has done that?
Well, I think, you know, I first started my business when there was desktop publishing and everyone went, well, hey, you know, there's not going to be design anymore. Graphic design is going to be taken over. And again, it became a tool to help us out. And I think we have to look at robotics and AI as a similar way. I mean, I was reading an article the other day about how websites can now be built by AI. But again, the thing about all of this is that we really can't predict the future. We were talking about before, an iPhone is only 10 years old. We forget that. I think that it's going to take a little bit of time for them to build this emotional sort of stuff into it. VR is still in its early stages. VR is actually probably going to be overtaken by things like Magic Leap. Have you heard of Magic Leap?
No, I have not.
Oh, it's happening somewhere. I think it's in Florida. It's not in Silicon Valley, where this dude's creating mixed reality, which is going to blow away interface and desktops. It's going to be something that's probably in your hand or in the air, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So there's a lot of things sort of that we don't even know what's happening at the moment. But getting back to your question about what skills do we need to have when it comes to creativity, we talked a little bit about EQ or emotional intelligence, and I think at the moment that can't be built into machines, or it's just not being built into machines as yet.
Okay. It's more of like a hard, it's algorithms and iteration and optimization rather than feelings or emotional intelligence. You mentioned this, let's talk about this. In the article you talk about this emotional intelligence or EQ. So how does that differ from the IQ, like the intelligent quotient that we all know?
Well, we know about IQ. I suppose the difference is emotional intelligence is basically the basis of what does it mean for us to be human. And, you know, for organisations, it's vital for sort of things like customer service. But it's also, as humans, EQ is about self-regulation. It's about empathy. It's about creating cooperation and trust. It's the ability to resolve conflict, and most importantly, build resilience is having good EQ.
Okay. We were talking initially about, so I mean, one of the key issues is job security. And at the moment, you mentioned that maybe this emotional intelligence, it's not possible to design that into AI. Maybe in the future it will be. For the jobs of the future, what are the key, I guess, as humans, which traits do we need to strengthen to, I guess, increase our chances of not being made redundant by a machine in the future?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because
what are the skills that we need, I guess?
We're losing our EQ the more we're technologically based. So there's been studies that are talking about how 18 and 29 year olds are experiencing social anxiety, around saying 45% of smartphones is affecting their relationships. And there's new apps that have come out to help people, so they're on Tinder or Grindr or whatever they use, to help them when they actually go out and date people, what to say, and so help them with EQ.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
So
that's a catch-22, isn't it?
Yeah, so this is incredible paradox. And psychologist Daniel Goleman, who came up with this notion of, well, he didn't actually come up with it, but he wrote a bestseller, The EQ, Emotional Intelligence. He said, you know, we're supposed to learn self-regulation, empathy, cooperation and conflict resolutions in our daily life. And we're losing that because of technology. So they're the sorts of things that I think we need to learn. So things like, I think we need to unorthodox problem solving. Deloitte, there's a study of Deloitte's talking about problem solving, creativity, having good social skills, emotional intelligence. They're going to be the most sought after skills. And this idea of resilience. And I think as designers, and we were talking about it in the break again, I think that what designers offer is a sense of we can live with uncertainty. And I think that we're entering into a world of turbulent, we're in a turbulent, they call it the turbulent teens this century.
Okay.
We're coming into an 18-year-old spotty, probably spotty boy, actually, I'd say, the way Trump's sort of functioning. You know, it's this, you know, and I think we have to have resilience more and more. So things are changing so rapidly. Why I say that is that we need to demonstrate flexibility and stability, but this notion of being able to stretch is important. So having openness, I think, I always say embracing deep work is really important. So having deep focus, and I think a lot of new generation are losing focus, deep focus. Okay. There's a skimming and surfacing and skim and skip.
So generation. For the future, we need to work on our social skills, our resilience, and our empathy. And we all may have a job if we can do that.
Well, I also think the other thing is to have become a knowledge asset is really important. And the final thing that I also want to mention, I think, which is really important, and there's master's degrees in this at the moment in Amsterdam, if people are interested, become more disobedient. So there's a master, it's called the, what is it called? The University for the Underground. And it's teaching designers to be disobedient.
Wow.
It's a whole new, that's another talk.
It is a brave new world.
Yeah. Stretch anyway, and be prepared to be wrong. It's important.
There is 100% chance that this is completely relevant for everybody's future. But Suzanne, thank you so much
Pleasure.
For coming on and telling us all about it today.